this is where I'm coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can. In the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to this Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited and delighted to have you this morning in the Situation Room. We hope and pray that things are going well for you and your family in your neck of the woods. We have a wonderful program for you today. Today is the day that we focus in on our Sunday school. Yes, it's time again to study our Sunday school lesson. So go get your Sunday school book and go get your Bible and come on and study with us this morning as we study our Sunday school lesson. This morning, our lesson is entitled, Called to Be Heir. Called to Be Heir. And it's coming out of Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, and then Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Reading to you, first of all, Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through, we'll do 1 through 6. And then we'll do 16 through 17. 1 through 6 says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren, and Judas begat Perez, and Perez, Zerah, and Tamar, and Phinehas begat Amram, and Ezram begat Aram, and Aram begat Abinadad, and Abinadad begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Solomon, and Solomon begat, and this is Boaz, and of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. And then verse 16 and 17, it said, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generation from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David unto the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Then Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 1 through 5 says, God, who at sundry time in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he has by himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than angels, as he had by inheritance attained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. All right, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we pray now you'll take your word and use it to bring honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, we're beginning now a new quarter, a new semester. This is the winter semester, or the winter quarter, and we'll be studying the month of December, the beginning of a call. We'll be looking at the beginning of the call, and for the most part, we're going to be looking at the beginning of the call of Jesus. And then we'll look at the call to be heir, call to be Emmanuel, call to worship, call to prepare. And then the second unit, we're going to look at Jesus and called in his ministry. And then we'll look at the third unit, the call of women's. And so we'll look at our first lesson, though, call to be heir. We'll look at Matthew chapter 1, the first 6 verses. And what you see here, as you read through these first 6 verses, you'll find the question being answered: do Jesus qualify to be the king of the Jews? That's what Matthew is really writing the genealogy for. See, most of us skips over the genealogy and stuff. But for a Jewish person, the genealogies, they were one of the most important thing in Scripture. Because they was looked upon as God's chosen people. And if God is going to bless somebody, or going to bless the Jews, or going to be a blessing to the world, God was going to work through the Jews. So it was important to them that this person is going to be a Jew. And so remember, we have 4 gospel writers. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Matthew is writing primarily to the Jews. Mark is writing primarily to the Romans. Luke is writing primarily to the Greek and the Greek world. And John is writing primarily to the world at large, and showing, so he's not necessarily just writing to a particular group of people, just like everybody else was. And you find stuff in John's gospel that you won't find in the other 3 gospel. That's why Matthew, Mark, and Luke is called the Synoptic Gospel, because a lot of things you find in Luke, you find in Matthew. A lot of things you find in Matthew, you find in Mark and Luke, and so on, vice versa. All right, but let's get on into our lesson. So the question on the table as you come to Matthew's gospel, do Jesus qualify to be the king of the Jews? Do he qualify? Well, Matthew said, yes, he do qualify, because he goes back to two great covenants based on two that God made with two great men. The covenant that God made with David. See, Matthew start right there from the verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, or descendant of David. So he's letting us know right from the start that Jesus is in the line of King David. And so Matthew, remember, he's trying to show that Jesus is the rightful heir to the throne of David. And so right at the top, he shows that he's the son of David. And remember, God made a covenant with David over in 2 Samuel chapter 7, letting David know, you know, David wanted to build God a house, but God says, no, David, I'm going to build a house for you. And he was letting David know that the Messiah, that the king of the Jews, was going to come through his particular line. And so you have here that he was the rightful throne, the rightful heir to the throne of David. But also it was showing the bloodline that he was a Jew. He was a Jew, because it goes back to the son of Abraham, the son of Abraham. And God made a covenant with Abraham over in Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis chapter 15. So it goes back to Abraham. So Matthew traced Jesus' genealogy back to Abraham, and he traced it back to David to show that Jesus was indeed the rightful heir to the throne. Now, a side note here, Jesus Matthew makes mention of four ladies in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Don't miss those four ladies in the one is Tamar there in verse number 2, it talks about Tamar. Then it talks about Rahab at the end of verse number 5. It talks about Rahab, and then it talks about Ruth still in verse number 5. And then in verse number 6, it talks about Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife, or the wife of Uriah. And so, and that was Bathsheba. And so you see those four women were in the line of Jesus. And those four ladies, actually, they was questionable ladies. They had questionable behavior. You look at Tamar and Rahab, both of those ladies was prostitutes. And then you look at Ruth. Ruth was a Moabitess. She was a foreigner. They would look at her as a heathen. And then by the Jews. And then you look at Bathsheba. She committed adultery. But we see that Jesus was not ashamed to be identified with these questionable ladies. As a matter of fact, even if you go through all of these men, you'll find that these men questionable. I mean, you think about Judas right here in verse number 2, the son of Jacob. When you go read his story over in chapter 38 of Genesis, he went out seeking a prostitute. And Tamar was dressed up like a prostitute. She wasn't really a prostitute, but she was dressed up like one. And seduced. She, you know, she acted like she was a prostitute, and she ended up having sex with her father-in-law, and in order to preserve the seed, because she didn't have no children, and she wanted to have a baby, and she ended up having a baby by her father-in-law. And so we see these questionable women, but you look at the love of God and the grace of God, how most people wouldn't even put that in their genealogy, but look at what God did. And so this is the thing that I like about the Bible, is the authenticity of the Bible, how the Bible is so honest, it's blunt honest in telling the truth, that God don't try to hide it, try to cover it up. God puts it out there. He tells the truth. And so this is the thing about the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Now, when you look at verse number 16 and 17, you see that Jesus is not only is looking at the King of the Jews, but he's looking at the Christ. He's the Christ, the office of the Messiah. You know, a lot of time we say Jesus Christ, and we think that Christ is his last name, but that's not his last name. Christ is not his last name. Christ is his title. He's the Messiah. Look at verse 16 again. It said, "And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." He's called the Messiah. He's called the Messiah. Now keep in mind, Joseph was not Jesus' natural daddy, but he was his legal daddy. He was his legal daddy because he was born to Mary. And so in terms of his legal daddy, Joseph was the legal daddy, not his natural daddy, not his natural daddy. He was his legal daddy. And that's why it says, "And he begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, who was born Jesus, who is called Christ." Now, notice something else. When Mary's name is introduced to us, that you don't have like telling us who the father is, like Jacob begat Joseph, and you have like Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob. Well, when Mary is introduced, you don't see that. You don't see that. It went from being the husband of Mary, who was born Jesus. Yeah, and so you don't see. So he's letting us know, he's cluing us that Jesus was not the natural seed of Joseph, as well as Jesus was born of Mary, but not necessarily Joseph. All right. Now, and so in other words, virgin birth, virgin birth. Now, let's go ahead and look at the last thing. We see Jesus as being the heir of all things, over when you look at Hebrews chapter 1, the first 5 verses. You see how it says that God, who at sundry time in divers manners, in different manners, spoke to us See, when you read this out of the NIV Bible, it says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times in various ways. But in his last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. And so we see Jesus is not just the heir of Jewish things, but he's the heir of all things. In other words, he's over it all. God done put this whole world, this whole universe in Jesus' hand. And then he shows too the equality of Jesus to God the Father. It says in verse number 3, the Son is the radiant of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he has provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And so what we see here, we see that Jesus is the exact representation of God. Jesus is equal with God. The King James Bible says the express image of his person. That's why Jesus told Thomas, if you done seen me, you done seen the Father. Yeah, you done seen the Father. Because Jesus is expressing equality. When you read John chapter 5, the Jews wanted to stone Jesus. The reason they wanted to stone him, because he made himself equal. He was talking about how everything that the Father can do, he can do. It shows the equality of Jesus Christ. And then it moves from the equality of Jesus to showing the superiority of Jesus to angels. Verse number 4, it says, so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is supreme to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have become your father, or again, I will be his father and he will be my son? He didn't say that to none of the angels. He didn't say that to none of the angels. And so, you know, the Jews, they look at angels as being superior over all creation. They are superior over everything else in creation. But the author of Hebrews shows us that Jesus is even over the angels. And so he's got greater superiority over over creation. He's even over the angels as well as over all creation. And so by Jesus being, so let's look at the three things. By him being the King of the Jews, he qualified to be the King of the Jews. He is indeed the Christ, and he's the heir of all things. Then what should be our response? Then we should obey him. We should obey him. We should obey Jesus. Not so much anything else out there in creation. We need to be making it a priority to obey God's word, to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus gave a parable back over in Matthew chapter 21. You can read it when you get time, verses 33 through 44. It was the parable of the vineyard and how this man had a vineyard. This rich man had a vineyard and he leased it out to workers. And when it was time for the grapes and what have you, he went there to get, you know, some of the grapes and what have you, you know, and to get, you know, the money. Well, when he sent his servants, you know, to collect, they said, no, let's go on and get rid of this guy. And we want this vineyard for ourselves. And so they killed the man. Then the rich man, he sent another one of his servants. They ended up killing him. And so he said, what I need to do, I just need to send my son. They'll respect my son once they see my son come. But when the son came, they didn't respect the son. They ended up killing him. And Jesus told that parable to show that's exactly what's happening in his life when he was walking on this earth. God sent his servants, the prophets, but the Jews ended up killing the prophets. And God would send another prophet. They ended up killing that prophet. And now God then sent his son, and they're getting ready to kill his own son. Rather than obeying the prophet, rather than obeying the son, they killed the son. And so that's what we need to do. Let's not make the same mistake that the Jews made by killing Jesus. And but we need to, rather than crucifying Jesus all over again, we need to just obey him. We need to obey him. So what are you going to do? Are you going to obey the Son, the heir of all things? Or are you going to re-crucify Jesus all over again? All right, well, that's our lesson for today. Thank you for joining us. Listen to us all day long, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.